We're going to call the regular town council meeting for Wednesday, August 28th, 2019, to session. It's 5:33 this evening. We have Mike Shields, Don Greiner, Mike Harper, myself, Daniel Richer, present. We have a quorum. Will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Do we have any public comments today? And if we do have any public comments, will they please fill out a public comment form prior to approaching the bench? Currently no public comments, and if there were, we will limit them to 3 minutes. So we're going to look at our consent agenda, which covers the minutes for August 14th, 2019, and our current financial reports. Do we have any comments on the financial report? Okay, do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept the consent agenda.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor of accepting the consent agenda?
Aye.
Let it be known that we have 3 ayes and that one councilman is missing it or is not present. So the agenda passes. We're going to discuss number 7, a resolution of the City of Lapine establishing a deadline for the properties in the Cagle and Glenwood Acre neighborhoods to participate in the city's program connecting properties to the city's water and wastewater systems and the city's cost and expense of these two.
Yes.
And just to let you know, I pretty much have tonight off. I'm so excited. Jake's going to take both these in, so.
Excuse me. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Number 7, staff report. Yes, councilors and mayor, this is a resolution in regards to our upcoming projects for the waivers of SDCs or hookup fees for those customers up there with existing dwellings that have private water and sewer. So we did give waivers for those projects, but we can't give waivers for bare land or people in the process of developing up there. So we had to set a hard deadline, in the, you know, a line in the sand that says no more free hookups after a certain point. So we sent out letters and made it well known to all of the property owners. We even sent letters to people who didn't fall into this scenario. Most people don't. 98% of the land up there doesn't pertain to this letter, but there is some that are looking to develop and have bare land. So I spoke with, for a while, probably 10 people a day calling in asking, and you too, yeah.
Well, that's good. Thank
so, you. So lots of good questions. Good to check in for the project anyways with a lot of those customers. This is a pretty cut and dry resolution. We vetted it through our attorneys. They put this together for us. We made sure it looked accurate, talked to our engineers. Everybody's on board for this.
Actually, I talked to about 10 different people about this situation, setting a deadline for this, and 7 of the 10 asked how they could take and do this because they live in the day routes into the city limits.
So I had some of those too. Right, or how could they get a certificate of occupancy on the house they're living in? I was like, well, you don't need to because I'm giving you a free waiver. There's only had one person coming in that was developing a lot of land that was not impressed about it, but I talked to this person a month before we even noticed and said there's going to be a deadline and it's coming very quick. So unless you're a very fast builder, maybe you can get in before it. So, and obviously that wasn't the case.
Yeah, have a vacant lot and ask for the exception. That vacant lot, it has to have a building on it.
Yes, whoever had recently had a building, maybe they were remodeling or tearing it down and building a new one, those even fall into our category. But bare land doesn't fall into our category.
What if had this idea, what if we, because our lots are 1 acre, we want my 1 acre and then say that in, I'm proposing to put, you know, on the other four and are they covered?
No. Look at these, those other lots, develop those lots, and then join an acre, and they were wondering if we would provide a service.
It was a little different when I was in Portland. I had one lot that was large enough to.
That happens.
So at some point or another, it still got it. It was easier to put it in then and cheaper than later. So then I don't have any more questions myself, so I guess we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move the city council approve resolution 2019-11. A resolution of the city of Lapine establishing a deadline to participate in the city's program connecting properties to the city's water and waste Boston expense.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second that motion.
Can you guys do a roll call, please?
Excuse me?
Can you guys do a roll call, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Connie Breeze? She's not here. Mike Shields?
Here.
Don Greiner?
Present.
Mike Harper?
Here.
A, I should have said her.
Mike Harper?
Here.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. So we have three ayes and one counselor that's not present. So it appears that the motion passes. Our next situation that we're going to discuss is we're going to open a public hearing in regards to ordinance 2019-07, an ordinance for the city of Lapine, amending ordinance number 2015-04, which ordinance concerns the city of Lapine's water system utility. So I'm going to open a public hearing on this, and if we have any public comments, please, if you'll approach the clerk and fill out a public comment form. All right, do we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Another Jake staff report. I spent a little bit more time talking about this one. You guys have heard, and this is a new one in front of you, but we have talked about it before. And the last time we discussed it was in the form of an ADU discussion, talking about requiring certain meter sizes and stuff of that nature to provide adequate flow for these ADUs and capture those needed STCs that could be missed if the potential of ADUs arises. When I got to looking at the City of Lapine's Water System Utility Ordinance, I saw a lot of missing teeth in there and some stuff that really needed corrected. And after going with legal and reviewing it, me and Melissa and the city engineer, you see some several sections in here that we updated. And a lot of them was very minor, but it made it more streamlined for the contractor and for the city. Before it said, the city will do all the services for the contractor. So if a developer comes in and they wanted to divide a lot, the city would have to, based on the language, we would have had to put services into the lot at our cost, which shouldn't be the case, it should be on the developer. So I went through and cleared up some of that, and it was more of action and kind of paraphrase what the changes are. Point one, determines that all service connections be metered. I think that's definitely here, all of our services. And the state requires us to, basically, for water audits every year. City will conduct meter installations after all applicable fees have been paid, inspections have been made, and specifications and standards adhered to, identified in the previous ordinance. It was alluded to, but not spelled out as specific as that. Won't install or establish service to a property if they haven't paid all their fees yet. Establishes the city will install meters of sizes 2 inch or less. So that's common practice right now. It's said in there that we'll do up to 4 inch or 5 inch meters. And in the world of city municipalities, wherever I've worked with or worked with different cities, they kind of line up 2 inch, and if they're bigger meters, they make the developer put those in at their cost to our standards. So we make sure we have the final signature and inspection on it before they install it.
Do we have a written standard?
Somewhat, but we're looking at beefing that up as well.
Correct.
This really opens up the door for us to clean up a lot of that and make it easier for the city to spell that out, right, and easier for the contractor to know what they need to put in.
Right, because we had to put in that meters will be to a min.
I'll admit it, that needs a lot of work right now.
Yes.
Yep. It's off a 2011 standard, which was a lot dated. So that's one of my goals, is this fall and winter is to really beef that up and make it a nice document. I'll do 13.1 first.
Okay.
I'll just keep going. Is any more questions about 6.1? Let me know. Section 13.1, no service connections can be performed without the authority of the city. So as I was talking about, if the developer wants to tap our water main and start providing services to their lot, they have to notify the city before they do that. That wasn't spelled out. Applicable fees must be paid and service connections will adhere to city standards and specifications. Basically, that's saying they need to pay their SDCs and stuff like that if they want to utilize that service. Meter sizes will be determined by the manager who may adopt policies or formulas to determine appropriate meter size. That's a new line in there as well. And that's alluding to your standards and specifications that you're talking about. And a formula that says this is the size of meter you need based on fixture counts and what you're doing on the property. The contractor saying, no, I'm going to be fine with a 5/8 meter for a 3-family building or a multifamily unit. It's going to be standards and it has to be justified through engineering and the plumbing code.
Right.
And the city's standards.
And materials, yes. That way they don't have to be recalibrated or checked.
Right.
Or
right. Location of services will be determined by the city. Upon review, when we're looking at their site plan, we're going to determine where the best place for that water service is going to be. We take their considerations, but ultimately we own that service up to a certain point and we want to dictate where the removal or relocation is at the expense of the customer. So if a customer, for example, is developing, they have two lots and they want to make it one lot. Well, both those lots have water services. Our standard says if you're not going to utilize both those services, we want to see that other service eliminated. So it's not a problem in the future when people are excavating or digging in that area, because it will be forgotten about if it's not being utilized. So that cost and burden would be on the contractor to do so. That wasn't identified in the previous ordinance.
And then there would be a new fee for reinstallation.
They could utilize the service they already had, since there was two. We wouldn't make them pay another one if they've already paid.
You've already removed it.
What's that?
Now what, you have two of them.
Right.
You're not using one of them. You take the second one out. What if they decide in the future they want a second one? Now they have to be a new
one. Yes. Everything would come into question, yeah.
Just specify.
Just to clarify for Jake, a lot of this is already common practice that we do. We just, is a lot of it.
I haven't gotten pushback from contractors when I tell them to do it this way, but it's not always going to be that way. I've had a few that push back.
Yeah, no, I was just at the point where, no, you guys told me I had to take, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
If you're doing a land use, it's going to kick in.
So section 13.2, if you look at the actual ordinance, this is just a paraphrase, determining the need of consideration of separate service lines when applicable. So basically, we pull out the ordinance, let's look at section. I'm going to have a question about that, I was hoping, because it's a little confusing. A separate service connection is required for the following. A, each property under separate ownership, including without limitations, condominiums. Each single family dwelling, but excluding accessory dwelling units. So we're allowing accessory dwelling units to utilize one service.
We want them to.
Each unit in a multifamily structure or group of multifamily structures, and or each place of business, all outlying buildings form the same service connection. Buildings used in conjunction with the property dwelling and or business or other institution may be served from the same service connection. In the discretion of the manager, multiple buildings on the premises operating under one management may utilize the same service connection with or without separate meters. So for example, Housing Works is a good example. Multiple unit complex, right? Multiple buildings. We allowed the use of basically one service for that, but it had to be the adequate size to provide enough flow for those units. They did a 4-inch meter there, which was definitely applicable. So based on that, and they distributed it accordingly. Leeway based on the make.
I build a building I decided it's more a building that I want, or maybe I want, and put three different businesses in that building.
Correct.
Does that mean that each business is going to have, they're going to be in advance, big enough that if they decide that they want to do it, there has to be service there? Is that what you're telling me?
No, that original service that's provided to that building. If you want to break that up and use multiple units in it, would probably allow that based on what's going on in there, right?
The same scenario rolled off individual sections of your property.
It has to be split.
Because we don't want multiple ownerships.
Managements.
Right.
If, Dawn, if the change, again, that's a land use thing that would go through the process, so change of use, we may require a meter upgrade.
That I want to do that, I feel that each business should pay their own way on it, in my opinion, I think you should.
In your tenant.
I've seen it before where a developer or a business owner has a building and they're subletting it out sections of it. You're more than welcome to put in sub-meters after the fact, just make sure they're getting billed accurately and for what their water usage is, but the city doesn't require that. We're just gonna bill that original meter.
So if I want to, put a meter in between the basic connection and the two businesses, I can charge the two businesses, but I'm still responsible for the bill because it comes in on my meter.
Correct.
It's your property.
Condos and then meter to each condo.
It's a condo association, one bill to the condo association.
Possible those condos, depending on how they're billed, different services for a 10-unit apartment complex. Given the exclusive authority to the city manager or his or her designee, so there's always room for review and to look at special scenarios, and the city manager or whoever she appoints can take a look at some of these.
13.2 is amendment number four, section.
It's amendment number four, section, okay, well this is written wrong. For the city manager, unless otherwise stated herein, the city manager or his or her designee will have the exclusive authority to make any discretionary determination assigned to city or otherwise allowed by this ordinance, including without limitation determinations as to approvals, authorizations, judgments, adjustments, requirements, options, and or impacts upon the water system. I didn't make changes to this one.
Right, I was just losing where
my attorneys did though, so it's in there.
Way around, if you know we determine they don't need it, we can
those section changes.
Does it
say that when we do the ordinance? It's not going to say each section.
Okay.
Also provided is a memo for Beacon. Me and Eric worked together to look at meter sizing because that's a big change in here that we have the discretion to. And we're always going to use the plumbing code and stuff of that nature to determine adequate flow for a business or a residence or a commercial user. We want to make sure they're getting adequate flow to serve. We don't want to undersize them, we don't want to oversize them. We want to make sure they're getting provided with them. Since ADUs has been a hot topic, we took a look at that scenario. What is the adequate meter sizing for an ADU with a single memo? It's going to spell that out. And at the end of the next thing, a 3/4-inch meter be a minimum to use a 1-inch service line, which requirement. Our standard is going to be minimum 3/4-inch meter, minimum 3/4-inch service line, if you want to add any. Before we talked about the differences in SDCs, and that would definitely be in play. Our standards and our water use ordinance.
And this is different than.
Oh, this is the same. So he's
agreeing. On the Beacon Civil Engineering, it says, recommendations and conclusions based on the calculated SFFUs. It is recommended that home sites proposing an all or upgrade to a 3/4-inch.
Not to set it to that high of a standard.
That's what I was asking. That's exactly.
Set themselves up.
Right, you can go as big as you want. Yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah.
No, so they're going to come to us. I'm going to look at a site plan that shows a single family and an ADU, all projected. I make this suggestion. You should put a 1-inch service line and a 3/4-inch meter. So. They're not going to pay much difference because the 3/4-inch meter is what their SDC is going to be based off of, not the size of that service line.
Yeah.
But I'm going to project to them and say, hey, you should put a 1-inch with a 3/4-inch meter at minimum.
Yeah.
Right now, is you're putting two. But a lot of times, ADUs are something that comes in after the fact, right?
Yeah.
I see a lot of site plans that show both. I see a lot of site plans adding an ADU is when they add that.
A lot of ADUs come in. Maybe 10 years after they build a house, because that's when the other family members need the help.
I went through and I talked to other municipalities since we had this discussion last. The council asked that I looked at some more information on, you know, if it was low projections, what's adequate for this type of development. I talked to the city of Portland, they require a 3/4-inch minimum. I talked to some of these contractors that have done ADUs, they're just happy that they can utilize the single service for both. It might be 3/4-inch up to the service, and they'll put it up to 1.5 inches to supply their buildings. You'll see a lot of that pipe go out, that a 3/4-inch standard would be definitely justified talking to them.
Yeah.
with the city of Portland because they're very open to ADUs. Because they don't have a lot of space for development right now. They're trying to make affordable housing, so that was, again, it's a 3/4 inch minimum.
Okay. Do you have any questions on this, Mike?
I don't.
Do you have any questions?
No, I'm fine now.
Mike Harper?
Nope.
Okay, so then we'll entertain a motion.
I think it was a
public hearing.
Public hearing.
Oh, yeah. All right, so do we have any public comments? We're going to close our public hearing. Now you have no questions, and Don or Mike. Now I guess we'll entertain a motion.
I move the Lapine City Council 07, an ordinance of the City of Lapine concerning the City of Lapine's water system.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
First and a second, can we have a roll call? Connie Breeze is absent. Mike. Okay, so we have 3 ayes and 1 non present. It appears the motion passes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like one.
Motion can be immediately, but an ordinance is 30.
Yeah.
Since we have no other matters that I know of, okay, so I'm going to ask one more time if there's any public comments on tonight's council meeting. Do we have any staff comments?
Just
our planner position open?
No, I took that.
Just put it on hold.
I just put it on hold. Okay. Tammy's just going.
Thank you, Council and Mayor, of a public hearing process. It's the first one that I got to lead, so I was expected for questions and from the public and stuff. But I think it was a pretty cut and dry changes. And we're going to continue to try to streamline that we alluded to, the standards and specs. We're really going to dive into that and try to create a good document for the contractors and myself. Because when you're looking at a gig on what you can put in the ground or not put in the ground, it creates some problems. But we always, you know, fortunate enough, we've been able to work with these developers in this small community, but we're growing. And I think the need for those changes are now, just to make it worse.
Thank you so much.
But also, I wanted to add one more thing. Up more so now than I have in the past, and that the last month with the new crew has been one of the best months I've been here with the city.
Tracy?
I just wanted to mention to everyone that, and I just found this out today through some other Oregon reporters, that across the state, apparently, mayors and city managers, council members are getting emails with regard to cities considering an upgrade to 5G technology. We're thinking that this is a scam. If you receive anything like that, I guess a couple of the cities have been threatened with lawsuits. So if you get anything like that, please just let me know. There's no reason to act on it.
We told them we were in.
Okay, then we're in.
Sign me up.
Right. Okay, so thank you so much. Do we have any comments from our council?
None for me, thank you.
Brainer?
I'd like you to know that I came in and went over the bills this morning, and one of the things I saw was 2 separate items that totaled about $700 for the two, and it's a mapping system upstairs. And I read the agreement that was on there and how much work they would do for us if something came on. Went out and talked to Jake about it. He showed me some of the mapping stuff and everything. And I think it's a fantastic system. For what we're getting that I can see, I think we're getting a bargain. And I wanted to say to Jake right from there.
I think that everything's going quite well. I've noticed some challenges that we have within our community, and Melissa has taken appropriate action on these. Jake is working on them too, so I think everything's going just fine. And thank you so much for everybody, you know, showing up tonight. Meeting adjourned.
Hey, Don, I wanted to add to that. So our GIS system